chapter 14, Jacob and the angel. Jacob's wrong in receiving his brother's blessing by fraud is again brought forcibly before him, and he is afraid that God will permit Esau to take his life. In his distress, he prayed to God all night. An angel was represented to me as standing before Jacob, presenting his wrong before him in its true character. As the angel turns to leave him, Jacob lays hold of him and will not let him go. He makes supplications with tears. He pleads that he has deeply repented of his sins and the wrongs against his brother, which have been the means of separating him from his father's house for 20 years. He ventures to plead the promises of God and the tokens of his favor to him from time to time in his absence from his father's house. All night Jacob wrestled with the angel, making supplication for a blessing. The angel seemed to be resisting his prayer by continually calling his sins to his remembrance, at the same time endeavoring to break away from him. Jacob was determined to hold the angel not only by physical strength, but by the power of living faith. In his distress, Jacob referred to the repentance of his soul, the deep humility he had felt for his wrongs. The angel regarded his prayer with seeming indifference, continually making efforts to release himself from the grasp of Jacob. He might have exercised his supernatural power and forced himself from Jacob's grasp, but he did not choose to do this. But when he saw that he prevailed not against Jacob to convince him of his supernatural power, he touched his thigh, which was immediately out of joint. But Jacob would not give up his earnest efforts for bodily pain. His object was to obtain a blessing, and pain of mind was not sufficient to divert his mind from his object. His determination was stronger in the last moments of the conflict than at the beginning. His faith grew more earnest and persevering until the very last, even till the breaking of the day. He would not let go his hold of the angel till he blessed him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." The angel then inquired, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Jacob's persevering faith prevailed. He held fast the angel until he obtained the blessing he desired and the assurance of the pardon of his sins. His name was then changed from Jacob the supplanter to Israel, which signified a prince of God. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." It was Christ that was with Jacob through that night, with whom he wrestled and whom he perseveringly held till he blessed him. The Lord heard the supplications of Jacob and changed the purposes of Esau's heart. He did not sanction any wrong course which Jacob pursued. His life was one of doubt, perplexity, and remorse because of his sin, until his earnest wrestling with the angel and the evidence he there obtained that God had pardoned his sins. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. Esau was marching against Jacob with an army for the purpose of killing his brother. But while Jacob was wrestling with the angel that night, another angel was sent to move upon the heart of Esau in his sleeping hours. In his dream, he saw Jacob an exile from his father's house for 20 years because he was afraid of his life, and he marked his sorrow to find his mother dead. He saw in his dream Jacob's humility and the angels of God round about him. He dreamed that when they met, he had no mind to harm him. When Esau awoke, he related to his 400 men his dream and told them that they must not injure Jacob, for the God of his father was with him. And when they should meet Jacob, not one of them should do him harm. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Jacob entreated Esau to accept the peace offering, which Esau declined, but Jacob urged him, "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. Jacob and Esau represent two classes, Jacob the righteous and Esau the wicked. Jacob's distress when he learned that Esau was marching against him with 400 men represents the trouble of the righteous as the decree goes forth to put them to death just before the coming of the Lord. As the wicked gather about them, they will be filled with anguish, for like Jacob, they can see no escape for their lives. The angel placed himself before Jacob, and he took hold of the angel and held him and wrestled with him all night. So also will the righteous in their time of trouble and anguish wrestle in prayer with God as Jacob wrestled with the angel. Jacob in his distress prayed all night for deliverance from the hand of Esau. The righteous in their mental anguish will cry to God day and night for deliverance from the hand of the wicked who surround them. Jacob confessed his unworthiness. "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." The righteous in their distress will have a deep sense of their unworthiness and with many tears will acknowledge their utter unworthiness, and like Jacob will plead the promises of God through Christ made to just such dependent, helpless, repenting sinners. Jacob took firm hold of the angel in his distress and would not let him go. As he made supplication with tears, the angel reminded him of his past wrongs and endeavored to escape from Jacob, to test him and prove him. So will the righteous in the day of their anguish be tested, proved, and tried to manifest their strength of faith, their perseverance, and unshaken confidence in the power of God to deliver them. Jacob would not be turned away. He knew that God was merciful, and he appealed to his mercy. He pointed back to his past sorrow and repentance of his wrongs and urged his petition for deliverance from the hand of Esau. Thus his importuning continued all night. As he reviewed his past wrongs, he was driven almost to despair. But he knew that he must have help from God or perish. He held fast the angel and urged his petition with agonizing, earnest cries until he prevailed. Thus it will be with the righteous. As they review the events of their past life, their hopes will almost sink. But as they realize that it is a case of life or death, they will earnestly cry unto God and appeal to Him in regard to their past sorrow and humble repentance of their many sins, and then will refer to his promise, "Let him take hold of my strength and make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me." Thus will their earnest petitions be offered to God day and night. God would not have heard the prayer of Jacob and mercifully saved his life if he had not previously repented of his wrongs in obtaining the blessing by fraud. The righteous, like Jacob, will manifest unyielding faith and earnest determination, which will take no denial. They will feel their unworthiness, but will have no concealed wrongs to reveal. If they had sins unconfessed and unrepented of, to appear then before them while tortured with fear and anguish, with a lively sense of all their unworthiness, they would be overwhelmed. Despair would cut off their earnest faith, and they could not have confidence to plead with God thus earnestly for deliverance, and their precious moments would be spent in confessing hidden sins and bewailing their hopeless condition. Those professed believers who come up to the time of trouble unprepared will in their despair confess their sins before all in words of burning anguish while the wicked exult over their distress. The case of all such is hopeless. When Christ stands up and leaves the most holy place, then the time of trouble commences and the case of every soul is decided, and there will be no atoning blood to cleanse from sin and pollution. As Jesus leaves the most holy, he speaks in tones of decision and kingly authority. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Those who have delayed a preparation for the day of God cannot obtain it in the time of trouble or at any future period. The righteous will not cease their earnest agonizing cries for deliverance. They cannot bring to mind any particular sins, but in their whole life they can see but little good. Their sins have gone beforehand to judgment, and pardon had been written. Their sins had been borne away into the land of forgetfulness, and they could not bring them to remembrance. Certain destruction threatens them, and like Jacob, they will not suffer their faith to grow weak because their prayers are not immediately answered. Though suffering the pangs of hunger, they will not cease their intercessions. They lay hold of the strength of God as Jacob laid hold of the angel, and the language of their soul is, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. The saints at length prevail like Jacob and are gloriously delivered by the voice of God. That season of distress and anguish will require an effort of earnestness and determined faith that can endure delay and hunger and will not fail under weakness, though severely tried. The period of probation is the time granted to all to prepare for the day of God. If any neglect the preparation and heed not the faithful warnings given, they will be without excuse. Jacob's earnest, persevering wrestling with the angel should be an example for Christians. Jacob prevailed because he was persevering and determined. All who desire the blessing of God, as did Jacob, and will lay hold of the promises as he did, and be as earnest and persevering as he was, will succeed as he succeeded. Why there is so little exercise of true faith and so little of the weight of truth resting upon many professed believers is because they are indolent in spiritual things. They are unwilling to make exertions, to deny self, to agonize before God, to pray long and earnestly for the blessing, and therefore they do not obtain it. That faith which will live through the time of trouble must be in daily exercise now. Those who do not make strong efforts now to exercise persevering faith will be wholly unprepared to exercise that faith which will enable them to stand in the day of trouble. The sons of Jacob were not all righteous. They were affected in some degree with idolatry. God did not sanction the cruel, revengeful conduct of Jacob's sons to the Shechemites. Jacob was ignorant of their purpose until their work of cruelty was accomplished. He reproved his sons and told them that they had troubled him to make him despised among the inhabitants of the land. And because of this their wrong, the surrounding nations would manifest their indignation by destroying him and his house. In his distress, Jacob again calls upon God. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And the family of Jacob never found them again. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Jacob was humbled and required his family to humble themselves and to lay off all their ornaments, for he was to make an atonement for their sins by offering a sacrifice unto God, that he might be entreated for them and not leave them to be destroyed by other nations. God accepted the efforts of Jacob to remove the wrong from his family, and appeared unto him and blessed him, and renewed the promise made to him because his fear was before him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone.